ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु। तदात्मनि निरतेयौपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति 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 हरिः ॐ। ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एज़् आल्सो स्ट्रेन्थ् अण्ड् आल् दि आर्गन्स् बिकम् वेल् डेवलप्ड्। Everything is the Brahman revealed in the Upanishads. May I not deny Brahman? May not Brahman deny me? Let there be no spurning of me by Brahman. Let there be no rejection of Brahman by me. May all the virtues that are spoken of in the Upanishads repose in me, who am engaged in the pursuit of the Self. May they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We were discussing the symbolism, significance, importance of the Gayatri Mantra. Gayatri is also described as Shabda Brahma. The mantra usually goes like this. Om, Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Svaha, Tat Savitur Varenyam, भर्गो देवस्य धीमहि धियो यो नः प्रचोदयात्। वी हैव टू सेपरेट दिस मंत्र इनटू फाइव सेंटेंसेस। ओम इज द फर्स्ट सेंटेंस, भूर्भुवस्वः दैट इज द सेकंड सेंटेंस, एंड दीज थ्री आर आल्सो नोन एज व्याहृतिस। देन द थर्ड सेंटेंस विल बी तत् सवितुर वरेण्यम्। Fourth will be Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi. Fifth will be Dhiyo Yona Prachodayat. In very short summary, what it means is we meditate on the glory of that Supreme Being who has produced this universe. May He enlighten our minds. This Gayatri Mantra is also known as Savitri Mantra and Saraswati Mantra. This Gayatri Mantra occurs in Rig Veda, 3rd Mandala, 62nd section, 10th Mantra. And Gayatri is considered to be the very essence of all the Vedas. How come? We will discuss about it. Gayatri is the most ancient, sacred and most cherished of all the mantras. It is looked upon as the queen of all mantras. And this Gayatri Mantra is supposed to be repeated at the sacred three junctions of the day. Actually, a few people do it four times. At dawn, at dusk, at midday, at midnight. But those who do at midnight are far few. A few try to do it at least mentally at midday, but most of the people are supposed to do at least both at dawn and dusk. But taking into consideration that some orthodox people are doing it three times a day, so when prataha, madhyana and sandhya time, all the three times, sayam. In the morning, this Gayatri is known as Gayatri and it is associated with Rig Veda and the creative aspect of the divine corresponding to Lord Brahma. This is how our rishis interpret it. At noon, Madhyana Sandhya, Madhyandina Sandhya, she is known as Savitri. This form is the presiding deity of the prana associated with Yajurveda and the preserving aspect of the divine corresponding to Lord Vishnu, also to the sun god. Savita, one of the names of Surya Deva, is Savita. Srijanakarta, he is the giver of prana, sustainer of prana, in the form of food and heat, etc., digestion, etc. And in the Sayam Sandhya, when this same Gayatri Devi is contemplated, she is known as Saraswati. In this manifestation as Saraswati, she is the presiding deity of speech, Vagdevata, and wisdom associated with Samaveda and one of the transformative aspect of the divine, are also known as Layakarta. Laya means absorbing into oneself, but that is looked upon, understood as destructive aspect. Rudra or Shiva is also contemplated upon as a destructive god. In fact, the very name Rudra, Rodayati iti Rudraha, he who makes people cry, weep, that's why is called Rudra. But actually, why weeping? Only ignorant people weep when they are being taken, like small children forcibly being carried by servants or somebody to its mother. The child thinks, this is destructive. This person is interrupting my joy. So, Srishti, Stiti, Laya, all the three are aspects of the Gayatri Mantra. Why? Because she is Mahamaya. She is the Jagannatha. So she is known as Gayatri, Savitri, Saraswati. So associated with the three Vedas. Why do we say three Vedas? Because you must remember, earlier all the Vedic knowledge was only one, and Veda Vyasa divided, and by that, earlier to that, there are only three Vedas, Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda. But really speaking, there was only Rig Veda, one Veda. When some of the verses, some of the mantras are set to particular way of chanting like Gregorian music, then it came to be known as Sama Veda. And if you really hear this Vedic chanting from a distance, the intonations rising and falling, and if you hear Gregorian music, why is it called Gregorian? Probably there was a Christian saint called Gregory, and in those earlier days, they used to raise their voices, of course, Christian hymns, but set to Gregorian music. And as people's minds came down, they could not stand, tolerate that pure music. Then they have to do like our cinema bhajans, quick, and set to various types of musical background music, various types of instruments, which actually indicate the restlessness of our mind. The more restless our minds are, the more we crave for a short, quick, and it should be mixed with various types of instrumental music, etc., along with, of course, percussion instruments like tabla, like mridangam, etc. So, but as our mind becomes pure, it has to become steady. And if you observe the Sandhya Arati at the Ramakrishna Mission, you will see the very first few hymns, not the bhajans, beginning with Khandana Omrimritam. It is more like chanting rather than bhajan style. In fact, Swami Vivekananda had constructed it and set it to what we call Chautal. 16 number of matras is called Chautal. And this Chautal, and it is divided into 4 counts, that is called Trital. So 1, 2, 3, 4. And if it is even faster, it is called Dadra. So the more restless, the more our span of attention is shorter, something has to forcibly draw us. And actually it does terrible amount of damage, because every bhajan can be a great mahamantra. And what is a mantra? Tat japaha tat artha bhavanam. So one has to really contemplate on the meaning of every word, sometimes every syllable, because omkara, om, is consisting of 3 syllables, a, o, and m. Anyway, these are just a side note we have to understand. Millions of Hindus repeat Gayatri Mantra at least once in a day. It is an obligatory daily ritual performed by all the upper caste Hindus. Devotees repeat this mantra in order to purify themselves and, of course, to have their desires also fulfilled. But the most important desire is to get, to obtain a sharp, discerning, discriminating intellect, right understanding. Even in secular affairs, if a person understands rightly, then he can progress even here also. I remember an incident when I was in UK. We have some money in stock market, and we don't know anything about these things. So we have employed one firm to look after on behalf of us. And I think it was in 2008 or 2009, the stock market was extraordinarily high. Naturally, we felt tempted. Why not we invest some of this money? We used to meet once in 3 months, and an officer from that firm will come, and he was very wise man. So he said, Swami, if a stock market has gone very high up, beyond reason, that is the time to withdraw our stock from that. And we were disappointed. But we have to accept, because we are paying through our nose. So we accepted. We sold a lot of this one, and that means we authorized it. He sold it. Do you know what happened? After a few days, the whole stock market came crashing down, not only in UK, all over the world. That was in, I think, 2008 or 9, something like that. So, right understanding, that is the context. Whether a person wants to earn money, wants to choose a partner, wants to accept a job, wants to accept a promotion, right understanding should be there. It looks as if that sometimes we are making the right decisions, not no. Pray to God that may God endow us with right understanding. So, not only to fulfill the desires, not only to progress in spiritual life, even to obtain the right understanding. Every scientist, every economist, every musician, every aesthetic person, they must obtain the grace of Mother Saraswati, otherwise known as Gayatri. But what to speak of spiritual aspirants? The repetition of Gayatri takes us to God realization. What is the ultimate test of right understanding? That which it tells, I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am not the panchakoshas, or 3 bodies, or I am beyond the 3 states of experience. I am that aham brahmasmi. That is the ultimate right understanding. And of course, for students, remember, we are all students only. And we should be students. There is a tremendous difference between readers and students. A reader merely wants to pass its time. It could be curiosity, it could be time pass. But a student is one who strives to understand it, study of the scriptures. And people think only Upanishads and Shankara's commentaries, Ramanuja's commentaries, they alone are the scriptures. Very few people, even today, some of us are shocked to find that some worthless intellectuals in India have been considered deep scholars because they use very words which are difficult, very difficult to understand. In long sentences, sometimes the sentences run to 7, 8, 9, 10 lines. And by the time you come to the end of the sentence, you may have lost the thread at the beginning where it started. And they are considered highly intellectual, and those books are prescribed for the PhD studies. No wonder permanent head damage is expected from them. Whereas Ramakrishna, Saral Kothai Shikhale, Ramakrishna tells in simple words, we must become simple-minded. All garbage, all unnecessary understanding should be forgotten. So that is what Mother Saraswati, Mother Gayatri bestows upon us, upon the votaries, devotees, aspirants, who are sincerely praying, O Mother, I am your child, I am a fool, I don't know anything. You please tell me what to do, what not to do, how to behave. That was the approach of Sri Ramakrishna. And that should be the approach of every follower of Sri Ramakrishna. So, Gayatri Mantra bestows, in fact, the very mantra, the very definition of Gayatri. Gayantam Trayati Iti Gayatri. She who saves one, who repeats the mantra. Manan, even the very etymological meaning of the mantra is Mananat Trayate Iti Mantraha, that which saves one by repetition. Of course, repetition is not repeating the sound. Tad Japaha Tad Artha Bhavanam. Most marvelous definition by Patanjali Rishi. Japa means what? Artha Bhavana. Only Artha Bhavana will transform our lives, not mere parrot-like repetition, which Ramakrishna had ridiculed. A parrot can repeat Rama Krishna when it thinks it is safe, but when the cat catches, here cat means death. Death comes, its original sound comes out, screeching sound comes out. No. So for students, it grants medha or spiritual intelligence. Bhagavad Gita also supports it. Tesham dadami buddhi yogam tam ena mam upayanti te. I bestow them that understanding by which they come to me, become one with me, merge in me. That is the final purpose. Thakur, Sri Ramakrishna and Swamiji had high regard for the Gayatri. Ramakrishna confirms that Gayatri mantra helps one make spiritual progress and leads one to the Supreme Brahman through the experience of Samadhi. He says, for the Kali Yuga, the path of devotion prescribed by Narada is best. I tell people not to bother about the elaborate rituals of the Sandhya as enjoined in the scriptures. Remember, Ramakrishna is the avatara. An avatara is one who enlightens all of us in the simplest manner possible, as suitable for any particular age in which God incarnates. Ramakrishna continues, I say that it will be enough for them to repeat Gayatri alone. What a marvelous statement. Ramakrishna says, if anybody repeats Gayatri mantra, that is enough to realize God. Then we know when M first met Sri Ramakrishna, Sri Ramakrishna was teaching. A sandhya merges in the Gayatri, a Gayatri merges in Om, and Om in Samadhi. And what is this Om? It is like the sound of a bell. Tom. See, Ramakrishna speaks of that word, Tom, like that. The yogi, by following the trail of the sound Om, gradually merges himself in the Supreme Brahman. A man is firmly established in spiritual life when he goes into Samadhi on uttering Om only once. Sri Ramakrishna is the proof for this statement. These are just a few words, quotations, taken from the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. Now, what Swamiji wanted to do? Swami Vivekananda wanted every Hindu to be initiated into the Gayatri Mantra. Remember, earlier we read, is the most ancient mantra. How old is Rig Veda? Actually, Vedas are eternal. Veda means knowledge. Knowledge means God. Since God is eternal, the knowledge of God also is eternal. And since God is eternal, Vedas are eternal. They are not creations of somebody. That's why they are called a Paurusheya, not human productions. Everything else. Then what about the rishis? A rishi is called Satya Drashta or Mantra Drashta. Again, very beautiful definition. Drashta means one who experienced. A person who sees is called a seer. Without seeing, a person should not be called a seer. So, what does this person do? He will be experiencing God in a particular way, depending upon where he is born, under what religious and cultural background he has been grown up, like a Christian saint calls God Christ, and then he has the same knowledge. But at the same time, Hindus have various gods and goddesses. Muslims have the concept of Allah. So every Buddhist has the concept of Buddha. What is Buddha? Sri Ramakrishna's beautiful interpretation, definition of Buddha. Jar bodhe bodhu hoiche tini Buddha. An awakened person who understands and becomes one with the truth. That's why Buddha is also called Tathagataha. Tatha means to the ultimate goal, Agataha. One who reached the ultimate goal, Tathagataha. So, Buddha is one who understood Aham Brahmasmi. That's why he called there is a truth and that is infinite, unborn, immortal, infinite, unchanging, eternal. So, Swamiji wanted every Hindu, and by Hindu, he doesn't mean Brahmins only. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Sudras. In fact, Swami Vivekananda initiated some non-Hindus, Christians, into sannyasa. Swami Kripananda was one example. Then some women also he initiated into sannyasa at Thousand Island Park. Swamiji did not make any distinction. He said one who is pure is a sannyasi. One who is not pure is a householder. Depending upon the degree of purity. Swami Vivekananda said one could be a Shudra. Who is a Shudra? Fourth class man. One who is impure. One who a little better is Vaishya. Still better, Kshatriya. And Sattvaguna is more, is called a Brahmana. There is a beautiful incident. It was the Sri Ramakrishna's birthday. Swamiji was staying at that time at the rented garden house. It is popularly known as Nilambara Babu's house. First matha was at Paranagar. Second matha was nearby some other place. Third matha was near the present Belur Mat, Nilambara Babu's garden house. And that is completely under the control of the Ramakrishna order now. At that time, Belur Mat was not there. So arrangements had been made for Sri Ramakrishna's nativity and a grand scale. On the morning of the auspicious day, Swamiji asked the disciple, Sharadchandra Chakravarti, who was a Brahmana, "Well, you have brought the holy threads, I hope." Disciple, "Yes, sir, I have. Everything is ready. But, sir, I can't make out why so many holy threads are needed." Swamiji, "Whoever comes here on the sacred birthday of Sri Ramakrishna, I shall invest him with the holy thread." And Swamiji observes, "These people have fallen from their true status. And the scriptures say that after proper expiation, those fallen in the way earn the right to investiture with the holy thread. This is the great day of Sri Ramakrishna's nativity, and men will be purified by taking his name. So the assembled devotees are to be invested with the holy thread today. Do you now understand?" Of course, the disciple understood. Maybe he has some doubts, we don't know. But for him, my guru is Shiva, he understood. And Swamiji was explaining something very beautiful. "To the bhaktas who are not Brahmins, give this mantra of Gayatri." Here Swamiji communicated to the disciple a special Gayatri is meant for them. What Gayatri Swamiji had whispered into the ear of his disciple, we do not know. But there are some Gayatris which can be imparted to even the lowest class of the people. We have to be ashamed today even to call some people lowest class of people. But you know, everywhere in the world, either people, they say it is a caste or it is a class. Everybody has got a class. I have yet to see a person who treats everybody as equal, and especially women. No, this is black skin. This is yellow skin. This is a woman's body. How many regimes are oppressing, suppressing, even today in this 21st century? We have to be extremely ashamed of what is still happening. Swamiji, he says, "By degrees, all the people of the land have to be lifted to the position of Brahmins, not to speak of the bhaktas of Sri Ramakrishna." So what Swamiji's idea is, everybody who is born in India should be a Brahmana, not the caste Brahmana, but the guna Brahmana. Actually, the caste system, as we discussed many times, especially in the Bhagavad Gita, had come about only because of the Chaturvarnyam Mayasrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. It's because of the Guna. And there are wonderful stories in the Mahabharata. One of the stories, as we know, in Karma Yoga, Swami Vivekananda states it, beautifully describes it, how a Brahmana, he had to humble himself, sit at the feet of a butcher and learn Brahma Vidya. So even though professionally he was a butcher, but he was a Brahmagnani and he had become a guru, even a householder, a wife of a householder had become a guru. See, that means this Brahmana was a Jati Brahmana, but not a Guna Brahmana. So there are some Gayatris. Swamiji could have given the Gayatri we are discussing here, but he did not want to alienate some of these so-called orthodox Brahmins. And that is why Swamiji had imparted some Gayatris. I mentioned some of these Gayatris also. So there are some Gayatris which can be imparted to anybody, even what we call Western people, Christian people, Muslims, if they want. So Swamiji's idea is everybody is born a Shudra only, a fourth class only. In fact, there is a beautiful Sanskrit verse which I have quoted umpteen number of times. Everybody is a Shudra by birth. Janmana jayate Shudra. Samskarat vipravuchyate vipro bhavati. So, by acquiring some good qualities, by observing best people in the society, etatra sammarishinaha aluksha dharmakama syuhu. as we have seen in the Taittiriya Upanishad, 11th Sikshavali, 11th section, we have seen. Find out the best Brahmins who are leading a spiritual life and you imitate them, follow their footsteps. So, that is, everybody has to become a Brahmana, and that is the purpose of this division. It is not to have some social, what is called privileges. That is what Swamiji had preached in his talks from Almora, from Kanyakumari to Almora. Now, what is a mantra? Already, I have told you, Mananath Trayate iti mantra. A mantra is a mystic formula consisting of a prayer. Jesus mantra, for example. What is the Jesus mantra? Lord Jesus Christ, I am a sinner, have mercy on me. There are variations. Lord Christ, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. One can shorten it, but the bhavana, the feeling behind, the understanding behind, that should be, O Lord, I surrender myself to you. This Gayatri mantra is a surrender, complete surrender. Diyo yonaha prachodaya. The very word prachodaya means you drive my understanding. Just like a charioteer, a driver sits in a vehicle and he drives. And however great the passenger may be, the safety and the very life of the passenger or passengers depend upon the driver. So at that time we should look upon the driver as Bhagavan himself. And that's why we say Durga Durga. O mother, you drive the vehicle. You drive the car. So it could be a wholehearted prayer of Sharanagati, complete self-surrender. So I empty myself. I remove myself from taking decisions. You sit there. You decide. You drive me. That is the meaning of Chodana, Prachodana. So any divine name, Rama, Krishna, Buddha, it could be just a syllable, a letter. Usually, a few short words is a mantra. A long worded mantra is very rare. Actually, Gayatri mantra, as one of the part of the Rig mantra, is considered to be 24 letters divided into 3 lines, each line having 8 syllables. So, 8 into 3 is where we will discuss what is the role of Om, first sentence, then the role of the Bhuvaha, Bhuvaha, Svaha. Then only real Gayatri will start. A mantra is used for meditation, japa and worship or for spiritual practice. But there is a rule regarding the mantra. It must be received from a qualified guru. It must be transmitted by a guru or a spiritually evolved person to an equally qualified disciple. Otherwise, why is it so? If Einstein tells that this is the formula, then it has an authenticity. For everything there is an authenticity. So a person who knows that this is authentic, how does this person know? Because he practiced the same, like a scientist. Many times he experimented, he got, and then he could, he knows, this will work. If this way it is done, for a simple example, water. What is water? H2O. So, two molecules of hydrogen, one molecule of oxygen, and if these two are mixed, it won't become anything. It won't become oil. It won't become gold. It will become only water. Inevitably, it will become only water. Let anybody repeat it. Combine it in this way. And it will be only water. So, a person who experiences, he has the authority. And his words have authenticity. And that is what happens. That is why, simply take up a book and read there, and one should not repeat. But what to do when a qualified guru is not available? But a person is sincere, Ramakrishna says, and I quoted many times, somebody is very sincere. He wants to have a darshan of Lord Jagannatha. Then Lord Jagannatha will come in some form and guide him. Swami Vivekananda used to say, when the field is ready, the seed must come and fall in that field. And it is an, what is called, inviolable law. It works every time. When Sri Ramakrishna was ready, his gurus came. When he was ready for a particular type of sadhana, that particular guru came at that time. So, we have to examine whether we are ready. And the seed must come. That is why we are called Kshetra and God is called Kshetrajna. It is only God who comes in the form of the guru, etc. So this is the condition usually accepted. But if somebody has got faith and there is nobody, you take up from a book. It doesn't matter. A mantra will work even if you read about H2O and you get these two materials. It will work. But if you go to a lab and a professor is there to guide you, it would be much easier task, simpler task. And then we have to understand, mantras are not human creations. Mantras are divine revelations. They are obtained by the rishis. A rishi is called a mantra drashta who uncovers, discovers, not inventors, seers of divine truths. When they have attained a particular state of consciousness in their meditation, then they got this revelation. These mantras flash in the depths of these rishis and enable them to progress in spiritual life, to realize God, to have self-knowledge. Therefore, anyone who follows in their footsteps also will obtain the same result, ultimately God realization. According to Vedanta, and we all know that each soul is potentially divine. But to think we are not divine because of our ignorance, which results in wrong identity, that is, we are not divine, means we are body and mind. If we can have the right understanding, immediately we realize that we are not human beings with a body-mind complex, but really divine. In truth, we all desire to be divine. None of us wish death, none of us wish ignorance, none of us wish unhappiness or misery. Unconsciously, with every breath, we are repeating the mantra, soham. When we split this word soham, saha aham, I am he. And with every breath, what are we doing? When we breathe in, then we say soham. So, when we breathe out, hum, so, hum, hum. When we breathe in, we cannot utter that, but we can feel it. So, that peculiar sound comes. So, saha, aham, saha, this is called ajapa, japa. Without consciously, we are uttering the truth, I am Brahman. And when this soham is reversed, it becomes hamsaha. And one who realizes, he is called Paramahamsa. So that is very important. That's why merely taking a mantra from a book by oneself is not enough. The disciple too must receive it with deep faith and devotion and practice with steadfastness, untiringly, until he reaches the goal or God realization. So this Gayatri mantra is called Shabda Brahma. Brahman in the form of Shabda, Brahman in the form of Rupa. Shabda and Rupa. These are the two important things. So, Hindu rishis developed a special school of philosophy called the Shabda Brahmavada. Popularly, it is known as Spota. This Spota means spontaneous manifestation of Brahman in the form of sound. What is the purpose? When we see something, we have knowledge of that something. Similarly, when we hear something, we have also knowledge. When a dog barks, even at midnight, As soon as we hear, we know a dog is barking. And when we hear somebody singing, most likely we realize who is singing. But there is somebody, even if we do not know, some person is making a sound, is speaking in a language. So that is how we come to the what is called truth. So this Spota Vada theory of sound, the basic doctrine underlying this theory is that all this hard and tangible universe which we see in front of us is made up of different kinds of vibrations and energies. The things which appear so static, solid and real are not really so. This is a very fascinating subject, but before I proceed further, I'll give you a small example. Just see, supposing somebody is playing a flute, a sound comes. Somebody is speaking to us. Sound comes. In whatever form, somebody is scratching with a sandpaper. It is making some sound. And we hear that sound. If it is within our, what is called, capacity to hear, because if some sound is coming from a long distance, miles, we may not be able to hear until it reaches us. They say, scientists say, when first from that point of singularity, spontaneously the universe burst out. And at that time, it burst out in the form of vibrations. And that first vibration, the scientists claim that they have captured it. They have been trying to capture it. They didn't have the instruments. But some time back, some years back, they claim that they have captured that sound. Of course, you can also hear what they demonstrate. But then it sounds like air passing. So when the wind passes through, especially like some bamboo trees, bamboo is used, as you know, for flute, etc. So it makes a peculiar sound, sometimes very frightening, banshee sound we call it. So like some ghosts are making some sound. So sound, how does sound come to us? In the form of vibrations. And Brahman comes to us in the form of vibrations. Whatever be the sound, from a baby, from an animal, from a mosquito, is all nothing but vibrations. And then the whole universe, there is nothing called solid. You look at a piece of stone, who else can dispute that it is not a solid piece of object? But then, you know, go to the science. What does the science say? This whole piece of rock that you see, so heavy, etc., it is made up of atoms. Not only it is made up of atoms, but it is the every single atom is moving at mind-boggling speed. The speed of light is nothing. And the wonder of wonders is one single atom to encounter another single atom and have an accidental collision is almost impossible. So everything is vibrating. Atoms are moving. And a stone is consisting of many, many atoms. For us it appears to be a solid piece of rock. But for other people, it is vibrations. That is where this Shabda Brahma comes into account. Every Shabda, every piece of sound is nothing but a solid material, or every solid material is nothing but a piece of vibration. But when we are in a particular state of the mind, particular state of consciousness, something appears to be very solid. When the same person is in another state of consciousness, everything becomes vibrations. This is the theory of vibrations, but this is a very simple way of understanding this. That's what Swami Vivekananda wants to say. Furthermore, the rishis have discovered that the universe of thoughts and emotions, every thought, not only an external object, our thoughts are also nothing but vibrations. And if you have studied the Raja Yoga, says throw a small piece of stone in a lake, immediately it creates a wave. That wave creates another wave. Like that it goes on broadening, widening, and our mind, our thoughts is like that. And every vibration is also kind of energy. Even subtler worlds like Swarga, Naraka, heaven and hell are also but a play of different vibrations and energies. Further, all these vibrations are interconnected and can be traced to one primary fundamental reality called Shabda Brahman. This is a most marvelous subject. I am carried away, really speaking. We will talk about it as much as possible tomorrow. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.